Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Ayin Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to Daf Ayin Vav, we notice at the top of the page a Mishnah. The Mishnah continues with the processing of a Mincha. Kol ha-menachos t'unos shalosh meos shifa v'chamesh meos be'ita. All menachos require 300 actions called shifa. Shifa is a rubbing action. This involves taking one's hand and rubbing the base of his hand on the mincha. This will be explained in greater detail when we get into the Gemara, but there are two possibilities that will be featured regarding this. We'll see in the Mishnah two opinions. The Tanakhama says it is going on a rubbing action of the wheat, with the intention of this helping to crack the shells around the wheat kernels for their eventual removal. And Rabbi Yossi talks about a rubbing action on the dough. So for the time being, the Mishnah tells us 300 actions of shifa, rubbing actions, v'chamesh me'os be'ita, 500 actions of be'ita, punching, where one takes his fist and beats the material. Shifa ube'ita b'chitin. This we call number one in anticipation of the next opinion, Rabbi Yossi, but number one says that the action of shifa and be'ita is on the wheat. And we've dashed underlined b'chitin so as to emphasize the point of difference. Number two, Rabbi Yossi Omer ba'botzeik. And you can see again the dashed underlining. So you contrast here b'chitin and botzeik. Rabbi Yossi says that this action, these actions are done on the dough. The slash indicates that that which follows is a new idea. Kol ha-menachos bois eser, chutz milechem aponim v'chavite koin godol, sheheim bois shteim eser, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the majority of menachos come as sacrifices containing 10 loaves. Being that there's a variety of different menachos, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that each one of the different kinds of menachos, whether it be a minchas soles, a minchas machvas, a marcheshes, etc., they contain 10 loaves. The exception being the lechem aponim, which was the bread that sat in the heichal from week to week, and the chavite kohen gadol, which is a meal offering brought by the kohen gadol on a daily basis, sheim bois shteim esrei, that they are in the form of 12 loaves. Rabbi Meir Olimer, kulam bois shteim esrei. Rabbi Meir takes the opposing position, that the bulk of menachos come as 12 loaf units, chutz me chalois toida unezirus, with the exception of the Todah loaves and the Nazirus. When a person finishes his Nazirus period, he also brings a korban that contains loaves. Shehein bois eser. Each variety of loaf that is in the Todah. The Todah is made up of four different kinds of loaves, but each one of them is a 10-loaf sacrifice. And with regard to the Nazirus, there's two types of loaves. So in that case, each type is of 10 loaves each. We've included a little chart on the inside margin featuring Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And across the top, you can see 10 and 12. And if you look at that chart, you can see according to Rabbi Yehuda, 10 is that which is for most of the menachos. And according to Rabbi Meir, under the 12 heading, you see kol ha-menachos. Under 12, with regard to Rabbi Yehuda, you can see Lechem Aponim and the Chavite Kohen Gadol. And it's worth pointing out that Rabbi Meir does not disagree with that. In fact, we find psukim that indicate this. The lechem aponim is specified in the pasuk that it's a 12 loaf entity. And under Rabbi Meir, for his under 10 loaves, you find Toda and Nazirus, and again, Rabbi Yehuda does not disagree with that. So what comes out is that, according to everybody, the Lechem Aponim and the Chavite Kohen Gadol are 12, and the Toda and Nazirus are 10. The Machlokis is with regard to the bulk of Menachos. The Gemara now deals with the issue of the rubbing of the mincha, the shifa, and the be'ita. And we've used this to serve as a title for the sugya on the outside margin. You notice the nosei heading. This is a title heading that in our Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of the Gemara marking system, we attempt to show topic headings and structural notes that we entitle Mivneh when necessary, that introduce the different geometric forms as they appear. So our title here, the Nosei, Shifois Ubeitois Bachonas Mincha, the rubbings and the beatings with regard to the preparation of a mincha. So in the Gemara, we have a brief Tanaic source, Tana, Shof Achas Boet Shtayim. For every one rubbing, there are two beatings. Shof Shtayim Boet Sholosh. And for every two rubbings, there are three beatings. So you can see if you, if this is repeated 100 times, you will find that there are 300 shifois and 500 beitos. Once again, if you take the information in this brisa and multiply it by 100, so you'll see, if you count the number of shifos that were mentioned here, there was 1 and then 2, so that's 3 shifos, times 100 is 300. And this brisa made reference also to, for every 1 shifo, there were 2 beitos, 2 punchings. So there are 2, and then there are another 3 beitos afterwards, for a total of 5, and that times 100 is 500. Those are the numbers that you saw in the Mishnah. Boi Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya wants to clarify the issue of shof achas. What constitutes a rubbing? Two possibilities, which we label aleph and then beis, with a squiggle underline O Dilma in the middle, indicating where the second possibility is presented. In our markings, we use a squiggle underline very often under alternative expressions, expressions indicating an alternative. So in this question, we have aleph. On the one hand, amtuye vasuye chad. It could be that the action of pushing and pulling back, the rubbing action, two directions, is considered one motion. O dilma amtuye vasuye tre. Or are we to count the moving back and forth in the rubbing action as two? So my teku, this remains unresolved. Shifa ubeita b'chitin, Rabbi Yossi Omer babotzek. The Gemara wants to know concerning Shitas Rabbi Yossi when he says that these actions are in the dough. Is it exclusively on the dough, or in the dough in addition to doing it on the chitim? Ibayalaho, concerning Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara asks, and here again you have an aleph oy dilma beis presentation of the question. Babotzek v'lo b'chitim. Is this, according to Rabbi Yossi, the shifa and be'ita, is it in the botzek, the dough, and not in the grains, or not on the grains? O dilma af babotzek. Or, when Rabbi Yossi mentioned the dough, he means even in the dough. Toshma desanya. So let's try to bring a proof or an answer to this question from the following Tanaic source. Shifa be'ita b'chitim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shifa ubeita babotzek. So he doesn't say af babotzek. In this Tanaic source, he says babotzek. And from this, we conclude that Rabbi Yossi limits the Shifa ubeita to the dough. Apparently, and this one can see in Rashi, that by doing these actions with the dough, it improves the dough. With regard to doing it on the grain, so we explained earlier that these are actions that are used in order to assist in the removing of the kernels, or the shell around the kernels of grain. Kol hamenochos bois v'chulei. Chutz mi lechem, with the exception, we said the lechem aponim and the chavite kohen gadol, that come shteimesrei, as 12. And here the Gemara deals with the makoros for the lechem aponim and the chavite kohen gadol as coming in as units of 12. Lechem aponim, behed yoksiv bei. With regard to lechem aponim, there is an explicit pasuk referring to the 12 loaves. Chavite kohen gadol, asyo is derived chuka mi lechem aponim. Through a gezerah shava, comparing the words chuka that you find in the context of the lechem aponim and the chavite kohen gadol, leading us to conclude that the chavite kohen gadol also is made of 12 loaves, like the lechem aponim. Before we go further, we are about to encounter a new geometric form, the bow tie, and if you look in our Nosei Mivneh heading, you see that the bow tie is used to feature Eser, and later on the page, Shtemesrei. This Gemara will be dealing with Mekoros Sh'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Shecholkim, the sources for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir that argue, B'mispar HaChalos L'chol HaMenachos, with regard to the number of loaves for the bulk of Menachos. As we saw in the Mishnah already, Rabbi Yehuda holding that the bulk of Menachos are in units of 10 loaves, and Rabbi Meir holds 12. Debos Eser Eser Menolon. From where does Rabbi Yehuda know that Menachos are to come in as units of 10 loaves? Answer, Gomar Milachme Toida. He learns from the Lachme Toda, from the loaves found in a Korban Toda. Malahalon Eser, Afkan Eser, just like by the Toda, 10 loaves characteristic, each variety that makes up the Toda. We mentioned earlier that the Korban Toda itself is made of 4 different kinds of loaves, each kind having 10 loaves. So Afkan, so too, with regard to the bulk of Menachos, the mincha that you choose will be brought as a sacrifice of 10 loaves. The Gemara asks, V'leilaf mi lechem haponim, ma lahalon shteim esrei afkan shteim esrei. Why not use as the precedent the lechem aponim? Just like there, it comes as an entity of 12 loaves, so too, Menachos in general should be 12 loaf offerings. So the Gemara answers, Mistabro milachme toido have leila melaf. Logic points in the direction of learning from the lachme toido for a conclusion of 10. Shekane, and the next few words are simply titles or single words that are devices to remember what the points in common between the Lachme Toda and general Menachos. So we see, if you just glance ahead, you see 6 terms are enumerated. One, and of course one has to bear in mind, when we say common denominator, we're saying common denominator between the standard mincha and the Lachme Toda to the exclusion of Lechem Haponim as being a precedent. So why choose Lachme Toda? So Shekein, number one, Yachid. The common mincha and Lachme Toda are brought by the individual, as opposed to the Lechem Aponim, which is a public sacrifice. Hamisnadev. They are both voluntary, as opposed to the Lechem Aponim, which is an obligation. Shemen. The Lachme Toda and the standard mincha have oil in them, which is not the case with regard to the Lechem Aponim. Nifsal. Nifsal is a very abbreviated expression, but Rashi explains Nifsal Belina means that it's subject to becoming ruined if it's left beyond its time, left overnight. This is not the case with the Lechem Aponim that were designed to sit on the Shulchan from week to week, for an entire week. So they were not subject to the standard psul, the standard invalidation achieved through Lina, through being left overnight. Shelo b'Shabbos. The standard mincha and korban toda are not brought on Shabbos. They're not processed on Shabbos, whereas the lechem aponim was actually offered, if you will, on Shabbos, where there was an exchange of the loaves, and the bozichin that accompanied the lechem aponim were burnt on the mizbeach on Shabbos. And finally, number 6, v'sheloi b'tumo. The standard mincha and lechme toda could not be brought in a state of tumah, of ritual impurity, which is not the case of the Lechem Aponim, being that the Lechem Aponim was a public sacrifice with a fixed time, it could be brought even in the case of in a state of Tumah. Adarabba, well, to the contrary, if we're already into trying finding common denominators between standard menachas in order to determine how many loaves it has and something else, so why not go with a comparison dafka to the lechem aponim? Mi lechem aponim havilei lemelaf. Other menachas should be derived from lechem aponim. Shekein, number one, hektish, meaning they're of a kodesh kodoshim level, high level sanctity items. That indicates that those are things that are supposed to be consumed only in the Azorah. This is not the case with regard to the lachmei toda. Number two, ulavona, the standard mincha and the lechem aponim have a lavona, a spice, lavona spice that accompanies it, which is not the case by the lachmei toida. Matzah, they are, the lechem aponim and a standard mincha is exclusively matzah, non-fermented loaves, which is not the case by the lechem aponim, by the lachmei toda, that of the four varieties that are accompany or make up the lachmei toda, one of the four varieties is in fact chometz. The etzem. Etzem is a very brief expression, but it means like the word atzmam, coming on their own. A standard mincha and the lechem aponim are sacrifices that come on their own by virtue of themselves, as opposed to the lachmei toda that are brought to accompany an animal offering. So we see four points in common between standard menachas and lechem aponim. And if we were to go in that direction, it would turn out then that standard menachas would have 12 loaves, which is not what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said that the standard mincha is of 10 loaves, and he derived that from comparing them to lachmei toda. So the Gemara explains that's true. He goes with the lachmei toda comparison, hanoch nefishon. There are more points in common between the lachmei toda and standard menachas, as opposed to the lechem aponim, which had only 4 points in common, whereas the lachmei toda and standard menachas had 6 points in common. Ve'i svira lon dovar halomeid begzero shava choizer umalameid bebinyan av. If one would accept the following, that something that's derived through a word comparison can then itself turn around and teach to a third topic, so that if you have, let us say, for illustration purposes, 3 points. Point 2 is derived from point 1 via a gezeira shava. Point 2 then turns around to teach me concerning point 3 through a logical comparison. If that were the case, which is the subject of discussion in Maseches Zvochim, whether ideas that are themselves derived can turn around and be sources of information for something else, in the realm of kochim, with which we are occupied right now, the realm of sacrifices, there are limitations and restrictions about that type of conclusion. So if you say that something that's derived through a gezeirah shavah, by the way, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you glance up to find the corresponding parallel arrow, you'll notice that there was a gezeirah shavah used in computing the number of loaves for the Chavite Kohen Godol. And we said Chavite Kohen Godol were derived through Gzeira Shava from Lechem Haponim, giving me a total of 12. At this point, the Gemara says, if you say that something that's derived through Gzeira Shava, like we saw before that by the Chavite Kohen Godol, can turn around and teach me concerning other things, so and the Gemara goes on to say, Neilaf me Chavite Kohen Godol. Learn the number of loaves for standard menachas from the Chavite Kohen Godol, which we concluded were 12, through a gzeira shava from the lechem aponim. Ma lahalon shteimesre, just like by the Chavite Kohen Godol, there were 12 loaves. Aftan, so too here by other menachas shteimesre. So we would conclude 12 through this method of learning. Gemara answers, we don't use this. Mistabra milachme toda have le lemelaf. It's more likely that we'll compare standard menachas to the lachme toda. Shekain, and once again you see here a list of items or points that the Lachmei Todah and the standard Mincha have in common as opposed to the Chavite Kohen Gadol, so that you'll see some things new in this list, because we're contrasting the Lachmei Todah comparison to Shaar Menachos with Chavite Kohen Gadol, which is different than that which we did above. So why should I opt to learn the standard Mincha from Lachmei Todah as opposed to Chavite Kohen Gadol? So the list starts, Shekein Hedyot, the standard Mincha and Lachmei Todah brought by a commoner, as opposed to the Chavite Kohen Gadol, that by very definition are brought by a non-commoner. They're brought by the Kohen Gadol. Number two, Shehisnadev. These are brought voluntarily, as opposed to the Chavite Kohen Gadol, which is obligatory. Chatzoyin. They do not come in a split form. As opposed to the Chavite Kohen Gadol, the 12 loaves that he brings are brought part in the morning and part in the afternoon. That's Chatzoyin, split. That's not the case with regard to the Lachmei Todah and standard Menachos. Lepigol. They are both subject to, that standard Menachos and Lachmei Todah can be subject to Pigol, which is a machshava, an incorrect mindset that one has when the korban is being offered. That's as far as the pigul is concerned, which is not the case of the chavite kohen gadol. Chavite kohen gadol are not subject to pigul, because the basis of pigul, or the concept of pigul, rests upon something that has a matir. In other words, it's a type of korban that that someone will eventually eat from, will benefit from in the physical sense. The Lachmei Todah and the and other menachos, they are consumed. The case which is not the case by the Chavite Kohen Gadol. So since the Chavite Kohen Gadol are completely burnt, the institution of pigul does not apply to it. Number five, Shelo b'Shabbos. As opposed to the Chavite Kohen Gadol, which are brought on Shabbos, the Lachmei Todah and standard menachos are not. V'shelo b'tumah. The Lachmei Todah and the standard menachos do not push off tumah, which is that which they have in common, as opposed to the Chavite Kohen Gadol. Well, adarabo, to the contrary, chavite kohen gadol have le lemelav. If you're seeking common denominators, there are actually more common denominators between the chavite kohen gadol and standard menachos, which would then lead us to a conclusion that there should be 12 loaves for the standard menachos. So the Gemara says that mechavite kohen gadol have le lemelav shekein isaron. The standard mincha and the chavite kohen gadol come from an amount, the same amount of flour, and isaron, which is not the case by the Lachmei Todah that has a number of isranim. Kli, the chavite kohen gadol and standard menachos require a vessel, which is not the case when it comes to the Lachmei Todah. The Rashi suggests the explanation for this is that with regard to the Chavite Kohen Gadol and standard Menachos, the Kli, the vessel, is what sanctifies them. By the Lachmei Todah, it's the slaughtering of the accompanying sacrifice that sanctifies the loaves. Hektish, the Chavite Kohen Gadol and the standard Menachos are considered Kotche Kotchim, which is not the case of by Lachmei Todah. Ulavona, the Lavona spice is something that the Chavite Kohen Gadol and standard Menachos have, whereas the Lachmei Todah do not have Lavona. Matzah, the requirement for standard menachos and the chavite kohen gadol to be maintained as matzah, non-fermented goods, as opposed to the lachmei todah that have as part of it chometz loaves. The etzem, they come on their own, as opposed to the lachmei toda, which accompany an animal offering. Hagosha, this is the process of bringing the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach. This maise of hagosha is not necessary when it comes to, it's not done with it when it comes to the lachmei toda. Ve'ishim means they are put in the fire. The lachmei, the chavite kohen gadol, are put completely in the fire. The standard mincha has a koimetz that's put in the fire, as opposed to the lachmei toda, where none of it is put in the fire. V'hani nefishon, and furthermore, these common points between chavite kohen gadol and standard mincha are greater in number. We see we've numbered to the number 8. The Gemara answers, so if that be, the question is then, if that be the case, that there are more points in common between the Chavite Kohen Gadol and a standard mincha, so why are there not 12 loaves for a standard mincha like by the Chavite Kohen Gadol? The Gemara answers, Hedyot mehedyot odiflei. There is an overriding consideration that goes beyond the issue of pure numbers, and the fact that standard minochas and the lachmei toda are brought by commoners, that is a stronger consideration, and let's emphasize that they're brought by commoners as opposed to the chavite kohen gadol, which, as we said, by definition are brought by the kohen gadol, who is not a commoner. So that consideration is overriding, and therefore I conclude that the standard mincha is 10 loaves from the lachmei toda. Rabbi Meir Omer Kulon Bois Shteim Esrei. Rabbi Meir concludes that the bulk of menachas come as 12 loaf units. And this is explained with two explanations. We have them listed with an aleph and a squiggle on an isverle, and a few lines later, a squiggle on a line bays possibility. So isverle, if Rabbi Meir holds the Dover Halomei Begzera Shava Choyzer Umalame Bebinyan Av, that something derived through word comparison can turn around and teach to a third topic through comparison, through Binyan Av. Binyan Av is a method of simply comparing ideas. So Yolif Mechavite Koyen Godol, the Rabbi Meir will learn standard menachas from the Chavite Koyen Godol. The Chavite Kohen Gadol being an example of something that had been learned. Its 12 loaf aspect was itself learned through the Gzera Shava that we saw earlier on the page. So I will opt to learn standard menachas from the Chavite Kohen Gadol. The Hani Nefishon, there are in fact more points in common between the Chavite Kohen Gadol and standard menachas as opposed to the Lachmei Toda. Well, and if Rabbi Meir holds that something derived through a Gzera Shava, like the Chavite Kohen Gadol, cannot turn around and teach me toward to other menachas, so Yolif Milechem Haponim, he, Rabbi Meir, will prefer learning the standard mincha from Lechem Haponim, which again is a 12 loaf entity. Because hektish me hektish odiflei, the fact that standard menachas and the lechem aponim are kodesh kodoshim is a greater consideration than anything else. In other words, that's an overriding consideration. That's what odiflei means. And hence, he will come to the conclusion of a 12 loaf unit, as opposed to learning from the lachmei toida, which is not kodesh kodoshim, it's kodshim kalim. Chutz milachmei toda nezirus shehein bo ois eser. What about sources for this? So lachmei toda the hedyok siv behu. Regarding the lachmei toda, the Torah specifies that each type of loaf that is that makes up the lachmei toda are 10 unit offerings. Nezirus, as far as the fact that when the nazir brings his loaves, he brings two kinds, each one of 10 loaves. The Amamar Shlomov. This is Vayikra Zayin Posuk Yud Gimel. We have this Posuk included on the inside margin, where the Korban Todah is referred to, and it says, Achalos Lechem Chometz Yakriv Korbano Al Zevach Todas Shlomov. So the word Shlomov is in the Pasuk that talks about the Lachme Todah. So the word Shlomov is an inclusionary expression. It's referring to other kinds of Shlomim. So that's the Rabbis Shalmei Nozer, to include the Shlomim that a Nozer brings that accompanying his offering are loaves, and from the fact that it's a pasuk found by the Lachmei Todah, we know that it's a 10-loaf entity. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara and a new geometric form. So the slash mark indicates that which follows is a new trend of thought. And in the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this Gemara. So we see a diamond is featured. Beis Deos, two opinions, Be'inyan Mincha Sheviu B'mespar Chalois Mufchat. We're going to see two examples of Minochas that have a known number of loaves, and we will see them brought with a reduced number. There'll be a double underline with a design between them that emphasizes dugmois lehanal. That means examples of that which was just referred to, namely a reduced number of loaves. And the examples that will be featured here include the lachmei todah and the minchas maifa. The lachmei todah, the total number of loaves that one is expected to bring, are 40. The Gemara will talk about a case where he brings, instead of 40, he brings 4. The 4 loaves, each one from the different type of loaf that's expected to be brought. So that instead of bringing 4 different types containing 10 loaves of each, he brings simply 4 loaves, each one representing the different type. So the Lachmei Todah and the Minchas Maifa will be featured on the Omid Beis. In the course of the discussion, we will see a volcano form appearing. This trapezoid shape, we call it here the ma'akav. That means we're going to use it with a in an attempt to keep track. Ma'akav is to keep track of the give and take nature of discussion. With the narrow point facing up, those will represent kushos. When it flips over, those will represent tshuvos, responses. So now, turning to the Gemara, maybe beforehand, it's worth noting where the second diamond is. We have the first one is Ram Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, and the second one will appear on the upper part of Omid Beis, enclosing Rav Huna. The Gemara will eventually point out that these two opinions disagree. In other words, there's a point of disagreement. However, the point of disagreement, we will discover, is of a technical nature. Omar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Omar Shmuel Lachmei Todah She'ofon Arba Chalois Yotza. The Lachmei Todah that he baked as 4 loaves as opposed to 40, he has fulfilled his requirement. The Gemara asks, but V'ha Bo'inon Arboim, but we require 40. So the Gemara answers, L'mitzvah, that's the best way, the proper way, but it's not to the exclusion of it being prepared as 4. Question, V'ha boy afrushi truma minayu. But if you prepare 4 loaves, is there not, what are you going to do about the truma tithe that's expected to be taken from the Lachmei Todah? Before going further, let's just discuss the optimal situation. If one were to bring the 40 loaves, like he's expected to, he would then take off one of each of the 4 varieties, which is essentially 1 of 10 loaves times 4, because there are 4 varieties and each variety has 10 loaves. He would then be taking off 1/10 of the Lachmei Todah and that goes to the Kohen. However, if you're going to bring a total of 4 loaves, so how are you going to remove the Truma from it? The Gemara goes on in developing this problem. And if you suggest the mafresh mikol chado v'chado, that you take off from each loaf a piece, that is not sufficient, because Echad Omar Rachmana, the Pasuk in Vayikra Zayin, Pasuk Yudalid, and we've written this Pasuk on the inside margin, it says, V'ikriv mimenu Echad mikol korban truma Lashem, a reference to the truma tithe removed from the Lach Meitoda. The word Echad is used, which teaches us Shelo Yitol Porus, that means not to take off a piece. Rather, the truma given to the Kohen must be full, complete loaves, not cut pieces. So if you have a total of four loaves, in order to give the truma, you would have to cut off a piece from each one, and that's not acceptable. The Gemara answers, the afreshinu belisha, the tithing, the removal of the piece or the part given to the Kohen will be when it's still in a dough state, so that when eventually it's baked, the loaves will be baked as complete units, and the truma will itself not be a cut off piece from a full loaf, but it will be a piece of dough that eventually is baked as a complete loaf itself. So at this point, we are still with the mindset or the position that the Lach Meitoda could be prepared as four large loaves as opposed to 40 loaves. Meisvei, but we present a new question. And you can see with the markings how we're able to keep track of what point we're holding at each segment of this discussion. So we have a Tanaic source. It says, Kol HaMenachos Sheribo. Ribo means increased. Sheribo Bemidas Chalosan. Oy Shemi'eit. Mi'eit is to reduce. Reduce Bemidas Chalosan. Where you either increased the number of loaves or decreased the number of loaves. Sheros, they are acceptable. Chutz mi lechem haponim, v'chavite kohen gadol, v'lachme toida u'nezirus. Now, with these types of offerings being exceptions. Now, in this list of exceptions, we find the lachme toida. Hence, we've dashed underlined that. And that we're saying here, according to this Tanaic source, a reduced number of loaves in the context of Lach Meitoda would not be acceptable. That's a problem for Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, who said his halacha in the name of Shmuel. The Gemara responds, who the Omar? Shmuel, who made an allowance for a reduced number, who the Omar ki hai tana desanya. He will conform to the opinion found in the following Tanaic source. We'll emphasize ahead of time, we're going to see here two opinions in this source. What we are looking for is the first opinion, which will parallel what Shmuel teaches. And the source says, Kol HaMenachos Sheribo B'midas Chalosan Oy Shemi'eit B'midas Chalosan Ksheros. All Menachos where there is an altering in the number of loaves are acceptable. Chutz Milechem Haponim V'chavite Kohen Gadol. Those two being the exceptions. What's not mentioned here are the Lachmei Toida, so that the Lachmei Toida come under what he said, and which we dashed underline, Mi'eit Bemidas Chalosan Ksheros. Those are, we dashed underline the key words that indicate the reduced number is acceptable. The Yeshomrim, there's another opinion that says, Af Lachmei Toida Nezirus. That includes Lach Meitoda as being problematic if a reduced number. But Shmuel, who said it's not problematic, will be in conformity to the first opinion in this source. Omer Rav Huna, Minchas Maifa She'ofo Chalo Achas Yotza. The Minchas Maifa is a type of mincha that should have 10 loaves. Rav Huna tells us that if he prepared it as one loaf, he has fulfilled his requirement. Mai Taimo, why? Why is it okay? So he answers, Matzas Ksiv. The word describing the loaves is written in the singular. Matzas, which would be a singular loaf. The Gemara asks a question. There's a long question, and you can see the length of it is indicated by the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. All of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. Maskiflor Popo. Taimo dekosiv matzas, is your whole allowance because of a scriptural reference? Ha ksiv matzois loy, had the word been written in the plural, then are you going to say that the reduced number would not be acceptable? For ha gabi lachmei toido dechsiv matzois, we find by the Lachmei Toida, where the word appears in the plural. The Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel Lachmei Toida She'ofon Arba Chalos Yotza. The Lachmei Toida, which are prepared in the reduced number, are okay. So we see that even though the plural expression appears, that doesn't preclude the reduced number from being acceptable. And yet Rav Huna bases his whole acceptance of reduced number on the fact that the word is written in the singular. So the Gemara responds, Hahi pliga. In fact, Rav Huna is at odds with Shmuel's teaching. They disagree. According to Shmuel, even without the scriptural reference, the reduced number is okay. According to Rav Huna, only because of the scriptural reference is the reduced number acceptable. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new Mishnah, and along with this, we also have a topic heading in the outside margin. Under the Nosei heading, we've written Kamut Hatvua, the amount. Kamut is the amount of grains Shehoya Dorush that was necessary Kedei Litzor Kamut Hasoilus, to produce the amount of flour Hadorush that's necessary Le, three things necessary for the Oimer, for the Shtei Lechem, and for the Lechem Haponim. We will see that each one of these offerings requires a different amount of raw material. Ha'omer ha'yabo isaron mishalosh so'in. In order to produce an isaron of flour, one would have to bring three se'ah of grains. A se'ah is a much larger unit than an isaron. Shtei ha'lechem, shtei esronim mishalosh so'in. In order to produce the two isaron required for the shtei ha'lechem, you would have to have three se'ah of raw material, so that if you break it down, each loaf of the shtei ha'lechem would require 1.5 se'ah. So, contrasting this with the omer, to produce one isaron, you would need three se'ah. Here, in order to produce one isaron, 1.5 se'ah would be sufficient. Lechem haponim, esrim va'arba esrinim, me esrim va'arba so'in. This is we call it a 1-to-1 ratio. Namely, the lechem haponim, which was made up of a total of 24 isaron, 24 se'ah were necessary to be brought in order to produce the 24 isaron. However, on a 1-to-1 basis, one isaron of lechem aponim would be produced from, in effect, one se'ah. So, going over this list, you see the omer requiring the greatest amount of raw material, three se'ah for one isaron of flour. The shtei lechem a bit less, 1.5 se'ah for one isaron of flour. And the lechem haponim even less, one se'ah for one isaron. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a new geometric form. We see a triangle appearing. The triangle will feature the reasoning behind the numbers with regard to each one of these korbonos. So the first one is not mentioned by name, so we've simply triangled my taimo, and we've written above that we're going on regarding the omer. The next triangle you'll see around the shtei alechem, and the third triangle around lechem haponim. So the first one, my taimo, regarding the omer, why is it that one isaron, that to produce one isaron of flour, you needed so much by way of raw material, by way of fresh grains, three saw of grain? So the answer is, kevon de mechodosh osi, since you're talking about new grains, as opposed to something that sat around for a while drying out, so you're talking about you're using new grains, u'miseorin osi, and it's a barley grain, isaron muvhar, a choice isaron, a flour, lo osi elo mishalosh so'in. You won't be able to derive a choice isaron unless you start off with three se'ah of raw material. You can imagine that since we're talking about new grains and barley, so then you have the issue of the thickness of the shell around the the kernel of grain that is eventually ground into flour. So as a result of it being chodesh and sorim, you're going to have a lot more, let's say, waste produced in achieving your one isaron. So you're going to be starting off with a lot more raw material. Shtei halechem, shtei isronos, misholosh sa'in, and we explained that one isaron will come from 1.5 sa'ah. Kevon de mechitin asyon, since it comes from wheat, and the nature of the kernel, the shell around the wheat grain is different than the barley. Apparently it's thinner. So, since it comes from wheat, afal gav de mechodosh asyon, even though the shtei alechem are also coming from new grains, we're talking about pretty early in the season as far as things are concerned, so it's still fresh grains, but even though it's fresh grains, since it's coming from wheat, shtei isronos also misholosh sa'in. Two isaron of flour can be produced from 3 sa'a of raw material. Or, as we said earlier, 1.5 sa will be sufficient for producing 1 isaron. Lechem haponim, esrim va'arbo'o, esrenus me esrim va'arbo'o sa'in, which we said would be 1 sa for 1 isaron, which is the lowest of the ratios of that we've seen till now. My taimo, why is it sufficient to have just 1 sa to produce an isaron when we were dealing with the omer, for example, you needed 3 sa'a. Why is so little required? Kevon de mechitin asu'u mi yoshan asu, since you're dealing with wheat grains, and you're dealing with aged grains. Yoshan meaning it's dried out, so that the amount of waste that is in the form of the shell is going to be considerably less. It's already dried out. So isaron muvchor osi mi sa'a. You can achieve a choice isaron of flour from a mere 1 saw of raw material. Tanu Rabbanan. We have the following Tanaic source that has two parts to it. Kol hamenachas shiriba b'midas isaron, oi shamir b'midas isaron, psulos. All menachas that you used more or less flour in producing the mincha, they are considered unfit. However, riba b'midas sa'in shelahen o shemir b'midas sa'in shelahen kseros. If you varied the amount of raw material used in producing the flour, that is of no concern to us. In other words, it's still kosher, it's still acceptable. In the case of having a mincha with too much flour, you get into the problem of when the kmitza is taken, when the handful is taken. So the handful will not accurately represent the required amount of flour that's present. The Mishnah. Ha'omer, we should point out, actually, before reading the Mishnah, the nosei, the topic heading on the outside margin, Ketzad Minapim. Here, the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara, will deal with the issue of the sifting. After we took our raw grains and removed the debris from it, and thereby produced, thereby achieved the kernel of grain itself, it was then the kernels were then ground and were subjected to a sifting process to remove other debris and achieve a pure soles product. So the Mishnah says Ha'omer Hoya Menupe B'Sholosh Esrei Napa. The Omer offering was sifted with 13 sifters. Shtei Halechem B'Shtem Esrei with 12, and Lechem Aponim Yud Aleph 11. Rabbi Shimon Omer Lo Hoyo Lohen Kitzva. There was no fixed amount. Elo Soilus Menupe Kol Tzorcha Hoyo Mevi. With regard to the Lechem Haponim, they would purchase the a solus that was fully sifted. Shenemar, the pasuk with regard to the Lechem Haponim says Velo Kachto Soilus Vofisa Oisa. which tells us Achite Menupe Kol Sochet, they would buy fully sifted flour and then in the Beis HaMikdash would then bake it into the Lechem Aponim. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that deals with the issue of the type of sifters, the level of holes or size of holes in the sifters that were used. So the first opinion, or the opening opinion, says Bedako, Begaso, Bedako, Begaso. There was an alternating use of a small-holed sifter and a large-holed sifter. The small-hole sifter, in general, would allow the powdery kemach to fall through and withhold the larger and would withhold the soles, which was a larger type of grain granule. The gaso would allow the soles to fall through, but withhold, not allow to go through things like the chaff. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Shalosh Esrei Napois Hoyu Bamikdash. He says there were 13 sifters, Zu Lamala Mizu, Vazu Lamala Mizu. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the sifters were in a descending order of size holes. Elyona Koletis Subin, the Elyona, the highest one of this, we'll call it a series of sifters, of if they were like positioned one on top of the other, the first sifter that was encountered would be the highest one, would Koletis Subin, it had large holes, and it would withhold the chaff, letting the rest of the material through. And HaTachtoino, the smallest holed sifter at the bottom, it did have holes, but they were very small in size. It would koletes soles, it would withhold the soles part of the flour and allowing the kemach, the powdery part, through. We wanted to use the soles for the mincha production. As far as the issue of the, is there a difference between Reb Shimon ben Elazar and the Tanakama, this depends on which one of the Rashis you use in explaining things. There's a difference between the Rashi and the Rashi Ksav Yad in explaining the Tanakama. And as a result of how you explain the Tanakama, the first opinion, you'll then come out with a difference in understanding, is Reb Shimon ben Elazar coming to argue or is he coming to explain? Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Hoya Lohen Kitzva. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah mentioned that as far as the number of sifters that were used for the Lechem Aponim, there wasn't a fixed number. In fact, Rabbi Shimon mentioned that in producing the Lechem Aponim, they would buy pre-sifted flour. Tonu Rabbonan, Soiles V'Ofiso Oisa. This is a reference to a Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Chof Dalid, Pasuk Hey. We've recorded this pasuk on the inside margin, and we can read the pasuk together. It says, "V'lokachta soilus v'afisa oisa shtei mesrei chalos shnei esroinim ye achalo ha'achas." So this pasuk, which opens the source, soilus v'afisa oisa melamed, it teaches us shenikres soilus. It's bought by the Beis Hamikdash as soilus. Uminayin shafilu chitim. From where do you know that they can acquire even raw material? Talmud lomar v'lokachto mikomakom. That if the Beis HaMikdash acquired raw material and processed it themselves, would also be acceptable. Yochol af bishar menochas kein. Is it so with regard to a private mincha, for example, that it's purchased as wheat, that there is such an option? Talmud Lomar Oisa. Oisa is a limitation expression, meaning it, the Lechem Aponim, and not private Karbonos. Mipnei ha-chi sochom, because of our concern for saving money. This will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. But in the meantime, what we have concluded is that when it comes to private menachas, one is to spend the money on buying the prepared sifted flour, and not buy the cheaper raw material and process it himself. Why then is there an allowance of buying the raw material, the raw grains, when it comes to the lechem haponim? So the source said, because of chisachon. The Gemara asks, "Mai mipnei chisachon?" What is intended by that? Omar Rabbi Lozer, HaTorah chosa al mamoinon shel Yisrael. The Torah is concerned with public funds, with the property of Israel, but in this context, we'll have to say with public funds. And how does that come to fruition over here? The Lechem Aponim was a large sacrifice, and it was brought every week, Shabbos after Shabbos. This was a rather costly venture. So as to reduce the amount needed to be spent, an allowance was made to buy for the Beis HaMikdash, which was using public funds, to buy the raw wheat and process it themselves. Buying prepared flour involved a payment not just for the material, but also for the efforts done by the person supplying the goods. His time, his effort, his profit, that inflated the price, as opposed to if you were to prepare it on your own. So when it comes to the expenditure of public funds, an allowance is made to acquire it even in its raw state. The Gemara goes on and asks, Heicha Remiza, where is there a hint to the Torah's concern for, we'll say, for one's possessions? Dechtiv, v'hishkisa eso eda v'es be'iram. In the story involving the rock that eventually flowed forth with water, the Parsha in the Torah in Bamidbar Perek Chof Posuk Ches says that you shall give the people and their animals to drink. In other words, there's a concern over the public's possessions as well, their animals, their flocks and herds. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.